Hi, this is Thomas Hausman from Anime Vineyards in Carlton, Oregon.
Thank you for listening to iWine Radio. I'm Lynn Crelo Chamberlain.
Welcome to Wine and Dine.
Today we get to circle back with Thomas Hausman, winemaker for Anime up in Carlton, Oregon. The first time we talked to Thomas, it was about his Pinot Noirs, and he's passionate about Pinot Noirs. But this time, we're going to focus on his cool climate whites. And I had the extreme pleasure of recently tasting the just bottled 2013 Mueller Thurgau Pinot Gris Dry Riesling. And he also makes an Amrita white blend, which, Thomas, am I assuming that the Amrita is a blend of those grape varieties?
Well, Amrita, the beauty of Amrita for me is I get to make whatever wine I want every year.
Okay.
And it is a blend of what we grow, and then I'm able to source whatever I want. And what I love about making Amrita in particular is that it's the very first wine I make, so I can take whatever I want from any of my other...
Really?
Create the wine that I love that year, and stylistically... I obviously have to keep it somewhat similar, but the grapes, if you look back through the years, the grapes that have been in it have run the gamut.
Oh, yeah. Really?
Yeah, I've had Vermentino in it.
Oh, my gosh!
Roussan and Marsan, and you name it. Obviously, you know, I try to anchor it with the grapes that we grow, but,
right.
You know, sometimes I come up short. Some years I don't have enough of one grape or another, and it's wonderful. What I love about that wine, and I promise I'll just shut up really quickly about it.
No, that's okay. Is it off dry or do you ferment it dry?
It is an off dry wine.
Okay.
All of my wines I ferment dry. And then we have a sweet reserve, a mute, that we use to give sweetness back. And because this wine is effervescent.
Really?
Semi effervescent. I want it to have that quality of, you know, that you get from a Vino Verde or you get from, you know, these lightly spritzy wines, and it has a little bit of residual sugar to offset the bubbles, the prickliness. Yeah.
Oh, yummy. Yummy, yummy, yummy. Do you grow Vermentino? Or, I mean, there must be somebody up in Oregon who is.
Well, I have a really good friend that I went to school with who's making wine down in Southern Oregon. And he farms everything organically, and, you know, obviously we're farming sustainably, so that's a thing in my head. But, you know, when you know somebody and you trust somebody, trust their palate, I mean, it was a beautiful pairing for us. I believe it was 2010, we came in really light, and it was like, I called up my friend Herb, what do you have? And he's like, oh my gosh, here's what I have. And, of course, you know,
you had to jump
ended up having 9 different grape varietals in it that year.
Can you email me that gentleman's name? I'd like to talk to him. I'd love to invite him to join us for a conversation.
He's a great winemaker, of course. Yes, I would love to.
There are not a lot of people. I mean, when I think of Oregon whites, forgive me, it's got to be Pinot Gris top on the list for me. And so this Mueller Thurgau was so interesting. It's so different. Are there very many people growing Mueller Thurgau up in Oregon?
Well, I like to tell this story that we have 12 acres of Mueller Thurgau, and I believe with our 12 acres that we're the largest contiguous block of Mueller Thurgau in North America.
Oh, whoa!
There aren't a whole lot of people. These vines were planted in 1979 when the winery first existed, and they're old vine, Mueller Thurgau vines, and they look like little bonsai trees out there. And I guess when you're given... You know, old vine Mueller Thurgau, you make it. The thing that I didn't send you to taste that's really interesting is we make a Mueller Thurgau dessert wine as well. We make it as a set. So what I've done is I take the Mueller Thurgau juice, I divide it in half. Half of it is made as a regular dessert wine, and half of it we've sent the wine away and had it distilled by Clear Creek Distillery into Mueller Thurgau brandy, aged the brandy, then oxidized and fortified it. So you have two wines made from exactly the same juice that couldn't be any more different.
Oh, my
fun
gosh.
Wine, fun set. Yeah, sold as a set. It's pretty cool.
And people can purchase this from the website, anime.com?
Exactly, yeah.
Oh, whoa. So you really get your creative... Some people don't have an outlook for their creativity, but at Anime you really get to... Nobody is squashing your creativity.
Not yet. I have a feeling that I'm probably pushing the boundaries.
Well, if people are buying what you're making, then I wouldn't imagine anybody would question your decision making.
Oh, well, you know, I mean, it's like anything else. I mean, it's like, I mean, the poor sales and marketing people, you know, they roll their eyes and like, wait, listen, you know. I mean, I've managed our latest planting on our estate. You know, I planted Gewurztraminer because we always have Gewurztraminer in the Amrita. I planted Gamay. I planted a Pinot Meunier. I planted Chardonnay Musquet.
Oh.
You know, and I talked to my winemaker friends, and they're like, how did you get this past management?
You're so lucky. Such
but
a
we're
going
to have a wonderful basket to pull from.
Well, I've got to tell you, the pricing of this 2013 just released, the Muro Turgau, $15. Unbelievable pricing.
Well, I think all of our wines are pretty fairly priced.
Yes.
I mean, one of the things that we've always talked about, you know, there are four of us essentially here that are in charge of running the winery, and none of us have, you know, we didn't come from means, and we were always like, you know what? We need to keep in mind who we are and what
we're
doing.
Right.
Not to the point where people can't afford to enjoy our wines. I mean, we want them to be approachable and you know, just not like one of these things where it's like, oh, I'd really like to get that, but, you know, it's X amount of dollars.
The estate dry Riesling, at $20 a bottle. I always love the packaging, but it's a spectacular wine. How did that end up faring when you were tasting alongside other cool climate dry Rieslings up in Anderson Valley a couple weeks ago?
Well, I think it was, you know, it was interesting because our Riesling is, you know, once again, it was planted in 79 as well.
It's wow. Wow, wow.
It's directly in front of the winery. It's a west-facing slope. It's a very dry, devigorated site. And I think that, you know, I was down there in the Anderson Valley. They have a very different growing condition there.
Yeah.
And we also had a wine from New Zealand and a wine from Finger Lakes. And they were all very different. But I think that mine, you know, it stuck out. A, it had the lowest pH.
Okay.
And I think it was the 13 is like 2.0. No, I brought the 12 to 8.9 pH. You know, it's really racy. And then, you know, we have a lot of sunlight in there, so we get a lot of those kind of secondary fusel notes pretty early. You know, I think it always shows well, but it's always very easy to tell which one's my wine.
Mm. So let's talk about the Pinot Gris, the 2013 Anami Pinot Gris that you just released, $19 a bottle. Again, another stunner. And again, really low pH, high total acidity. I love it.
Well, I think that, first of all, the 2013 Pinot Gris is probably my favorite Pinot Gris that we have made here in several years. I think it's just beautiful. It's nice and dry, and it's crisp, and it's everything that I like about Pinot Gris. You know, Pinot Gris is obviously, as you said earlier, it's Oregon's grape, and I think a lot of people in Oregon probably don't give it the respect that it's due. It's
really?
Yeah, I think because Oregon Pinot Gris is something that's it's easy to sell, and, you know, there's more of it than the other grapes, and, you know, it kind of, I think, in a way, gets treated the way Sauvignon Blanc gets treated in Marlborough, or has been treated in the past in Marlborough, where it becomes more of something that you just, you know, you make. And, you know, we farm the Gris like we farm Pinot Noir. You know, we keep the tonnage down, and we bring it in, and it's very clean, and all the things you should do. And I think that it shows in the final product. And, you know, we also aren't making that kind of off-dry.
It was spectacular, and there was even, dare I say, a minerality in the finish that I found especially attractive.
I would agree. I think that, you know, like I said, this year, for some reason, 2013 was an especially delicious year for Pinot Gris.
Before we run out of time here, talk to us about the other whites that you're making. We've mentioned the Amarita. We've talked about the dry Riesling, the Muro Turgau. You make a Chardonnay, yes?
I do. Don't we grow Chardonnay? I make us. We started making sparkling wines. Jet.
Thomas, but, you started making sparkling wines besides the.
Don't tell anybody.
Oh my gosh! Please.
Super secret. And we haven't released it yet. It'll be released next year. This time, actually,
oh,
a year from now.
Please join me next year to talk about this.
Okay. Yeah. I'd love to. And that's the reason we planted the Meunier.
Okay. Okay.
So we make. In addition, I make a Pinot Blanc, which is
yum.
Dry. It's barrel fermented. It's aged on lees for 9 months. Lees stirring every 2 weeks, so we get, you know, those biscuity flavors, but no malolactic.
Yeah.
So you get this creamy, you know, creaminess. It's like a muscadet, and you know, where you get
yum.
Yeah, you have that vibrant acidity, or even a Chablis. I'm not trying to go for oak because it's neutral
yeah.
oak.
Yeah.
But it's a perfect food wine. And then for those people that want something bigger and richer, we make Prisme Pinot Noir Blanc.
Thomas,
full big white wine from Pinot Noir.
Thomas Hausman, you've got to be one of my favorite winemakers in North America. We thank you so very much for joining us this week on Wine and Dine.
Well, thank you again, Lynn. It's great talking to you.
We will have links up for you to purchase, my gosh, everything he makes. He's just a genius of a man when it comes to things that, you know, people who like racy wines, things that are bracing and that go well with food. You're listening to Wine and Dine, and we thank you for doing so. You're listening to iWine Radio.